Let us worship God. Come, let us worship God, who is our maker, our strength, our shield, our hiding place, the one whose love sustains us in our times of need. We join to sing, "Now thank we all our God." Is completely drained as moisture is dried up by the summer heat. When I confessed my sins to you, I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave all my sins. So all your loyal people should pray to you in times of need. When a great flood of trouble comes rushing in, it will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will save me from trouble. I sing aloud of your salvation because you protect me. Have a seat. And we join to pray. Let us pray. Loving God, we confidently offer our lives to you, knowing that you will ask nothing of us that we cannot face in the strength of the risen Christ.
Some of us have had a really tough week, and we know how hard it is to die for faith and to live, to love our neighbours in the world, and it is a real test of our commitment. We offer to you, as we come to worship, the medley and the muddle of our lives. We come to you with our mixed up motives, our secret regrets, our confused ambitions. We lift it all to you, our God, celebrating the fact that through Jesus we can come to you as we are. We confess the wrong that we have done. The good that we failed to do. Forgive us when our faith has been flimsy, our love has been lukewarm, and our behaviour has been nothing for you to boast about. Cleanse and renew us. Reawaken our weary hearts, that we may show your love to a hurting world. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Do you want this mic? No. No.
In the square there was a large tree, and Jesus came into Jericho and was passing through. In this place there was a chief tax collector there named Zacharias. He was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was very little, and he could not see. Can you see Jesus? No, he couldn't see. And then he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll run ahead of the crowd and I'll climb this tree. And look out, look out, look out, look out, look out. And he climbed the sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. Then Jesus came to that place and he looked up. "Hurry down, Zacharias, because I must stay in your house today." So Zacharias hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. But there was lots of people following Jesus, and they weren't happy when they saw this tax collector being greeted by Jesus. And they're a bit like this crowd, who are a bit disgruntled and not winning the rugby. And they started grumbling, especially the Scots and the Welsh and the English. And one of the grumbling persons said, "This man has gone as a guest into the honour of a sinner, to the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up. "Listen, sir, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much." Don't talk about women paying taxes, did you notice that? So Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Thanks be to God. Thank you.
We're going to sing "One More Step Along the World I Go." Janine, you're a bit all singing, all dancing today, aren't you? I'll speak really quick and then shut up. John's coming to your rescue. Brilliant. The beginning of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians is like a typical letter of Paul, in inverted commas. But this letter is rooted in the conversation between Timothy and Paul, and it is about these men talking about the congregations that they have founded. Janine Goddard. If anybody leaves here not knowing what this woman's name is, it's a pretty poor day, isn't it? This is Janine. You might have seen her earlier.
From Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the people of the church in Thessalonica, who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Our brothers and sisters, we must thank God at all times for you. It is right for us to do so, because your faith is growing so much and the love each of you has for the others is becoming greater. That is why we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God. We boast about the way you continue to endure and believe through all the persecutions and sufferings you are experiencing. That is why we always pray for you. We ask our God to make you worthy of the life he has called you to live. Sorry. May he fulfill by his power all your desire for goodness and complete your work of faith. In this way, the name of our Lord Jesus will receive glory from you and you from him, by the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So it won't come as a shock to you to know what the gospel reading is, eh? Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to die. Liz Cook will read this passage to us.
The second reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus went on into Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man and could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today." Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. All the people who saw it started grumbling. "This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner." Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen.
What do you boast about? It's the overriding message from the Thessalonians passage is about them boasting. And when you speak of Kingston United Reformed Church, do you remember the importance of us speaking positively about one another? People saying things are the themes from these two readings. Thessalonians is about the writer's positive appreciation of that early church and them in conversation boasting about what that church is like and the fact that they kept on going even in the face of suffering. And then you have Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who speaks and promises to give away half of his possessions and repay fourfold anybody that he's ripped off. The first question that occurred to me working on those passages was, did Zacchaeus deliver? Because saying it is one thing, doing it is another. Did he deliver? So, did a bit of homework. What happened to Zacchaeus afterwards? A fairly early church tradition, dating back from the 2nd century, which is pretty early, says that he became the first bishop of Caesarea. Possible. After the persecution broke out after the death of Stephen, we already know that Zacchaeus is associated with Jericho, moved to the coast, reasonable. Caesarea was an important city, and as a former Roman employee, Zacchaeus might well have felt at home there. He was probably well educated, and we certainly know that he was a man of exuberant personality. It could fit, could. And there's another tradition which is handed on to us from St. Clement of Alexandria, that Zacchaeus became Matthias and then became one of the 12. And that Judas, who lost his position as one of the 12 because of his love of money, is taken, his place is taken by an apostle who comes to his place because he gives up money because of his love of Christ. Just speculation. No basis in the scriptures. We know from Zacchaeus, we know only from this one wee story. But the interesting bit is there is no tradition that he reneged. There is no tradition that he went back on his word. It feels to me like it's a major issue, and it's certainly something that's coming to me from all range of different places, that people who, we need to remember the importance of doing what we said we were going to do. Don't be quick to put your hand in the air and say, yes, I'll do it. To be people who consider, reflect, and then act. And then keep on acting, doing what you said you were going to do. There's real ease in being a mushroom. Quick to grow, no substance, here for a minute and then gone. And I would say there is little of the kingdom in that. In a society so obsessed with what is new and what is novel, being people like us that keep on going, the old, the dull, it's a bit boring, it's a bit embarrassing actually, but we are people who have pledged ourselves to keep on going and repeating in new ways old truths. We have pledged to be constant to life-changing truths, and we are not going to stop. Is it tough? Yes, of course. We follow somebody who was tortured to death. Why would we think it was going to be easy? So, would we rather sleep than pray? Yes. Can you think of a better idea of what you could be doing on a Sunday morning? Yes. Can you think about the money that you give to the church and to other causes? Could you have more fun if you kept it? Yes. But these are the good habits of faith. They are the things that call us on back onto track in the tough times that do happen. Spiritual practices of giving, hospitality, depth of relationship, concern for others, and keeping on going. These are things to make Jesus boast about us. And let's be clear, that's each of us in community. Our society might love the individual, our culture is about people in community. Holy Communion is one of the good habits. It's a place where the words that we reflect on are not our words. The words that matter are the words of Jesus, words of welcome, words of feeding, his words. And it takes the focus off us, off me, and puts the focus on him. What he has done and what he would give us. And then when we leave this place, the lives that we live, they are our gift to him. It is about our words into action for the long haul. Let us be silent together, and then we will pray. Living God, we pray for the whole church. The church that you have called into being to be a blessing to the nations through the love of its members for you and for all humanity. In this place and at this time, on this day, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, at All Saints and St. John's, at every day, Kingsgate, the Quakers, the Methodists. We pray for those churches that we have been a part of, or normally are a part of. We ask for your blessing on them. We pray that we and all our fellow Christians may be ready for the sacrifice that you call us to. And that that sacrifice might prove to be eloquent for faith, for hope, for love. We know that in the majority of countries in the world, Christians are persecuted. Keep them constant, Lord Jesus. And we pray for those things that burden us. The situation, the politics, the people that we love. And we pray for ourselves with the challenges that await us on Monday morning. In our lives and in our relationships, in our work, and in all the places where we are called to serve you. Let your light shine through us. We do not need to be better. We need to be our best. Lord, we pray. Amen. Right, brothers and sisters, we've got a new toy. Woohoo! We're going to take the offering, and now we have facility. For those of you who don't deal in cash. So if you are somebody who suddenly pats down, usually brings your offering and suddenly realizes that you haven't got your cash, blah, 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 put your hand in the air and we can facilitate this for you. Okay? So now, let us now make our offering. Thank you. So let us pray. We bring this bread, wine, and money to the table of Jesus. We bring ourselves, all that we are, all that we own. May the ordinary become holy, and heaven be opened to the people of the earth. May God be blessed forever. Amen. We join together to sing, "An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare," 438. 438. Jesus was often a receiver, a guest. He shared many meals with friends, and they long remembered his words. Some disapproved of the company that he kept. Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people and showed the love of God. Wherever people met together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and glad to be fed. Today, we are the guests of Jesus, and he will feed us at his table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us. Come and share bread and share wine to remember the story of his life and his death and to celebrate in his presence today. When they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and said to them, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." As friends and disciples of Jesus today, he invites us to break bread together, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. We believe that this is the Lord's table. It does not belong to us. And if you would eat and drink with us, you are most welcome so to do. The way that it works in this community of the United Reformed Church is that the elders will bring you the bread. When you receive it, after you've had a moment, eat it. And then they will come back with the wine. And would you hold that, please, so we can all drink together. There's no alcohol in this wine, and for those who have issues around wheat and gluten, there is provision for you in these wee fish. So let us pray. Thank you, Lord our God, for making us your special people. Not for special privilege, but for special responsibility. Thank you for your hard demands, which sometimes trouble us, but when we trust you, work out in blessing for us. Thank you for our neighbours' needs, which become opportunities to do justice to your loving kindness. Thank you for the conviction which deepens with experience that your mercy will not fail us, that peace with justice, goodness with love, and full satisfaction with continuing delight will be the outcome for ourselves and all we are called to serve. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and this wine, that these, the ordinary things of the earth, would remind us of the heavenly banquet that we have a foretaste of on the earth, and one day will know in all its fullness. And thank you that at this table we are joined with our brothers and sisters in Christ through time and around the world. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, our God. Lord, we pray. Amen. He took bread. It was blessed. It was broken. This is my body, he said, and it is broken for you. He took the cup, wine poured out. This is my blood, he said. It is shed for you. The body of Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, we offer ourselves again. To be loving symbols of your justice and your mercy. Ask of us what you will, and give us what it takes to obey you gladly. And Lord, do justice to your faith in us through Jesus, for he is all that we have. Amen. A big Isaac Watts hymn to finish, I think. I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. 7, 3, 4.
Thank you.
The worship is over. The service begins. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and those who we love wherever they are. Amen.